everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragomeni. I'm going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Pretty busy week here this week. A lot of shows starting on Tuesday. You might be hearing this show on Tuesday, March 20th. That's when it goes up here. The Detroit to LA kickoff show, 7:30 p.m. We got a cool lineup of folks for you on Tuesday. Some people I like. Some people I never heard of. Patty Rooney will be emceeing that one. And Jacob Russell closes it. So there's two good folks right there. They're not really contestants. But hey, a lot of good contestants. Their friends and family will be there. And you can be there too. 7:30 p.m. the first week of the Detroit to L.A. Comedy Challenge. Come get your tickets for that one. Wednesday, open mic returns at 7:30, okay? It's a bunch of comics. Short sets, 5 minutes each, 7:30 p.m. That's Wednesday, May 21st. Then a huge weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend. Josh Adams joins us, and we just love Josh. I talked to him. You'll hear that interview here in a couple of minutes. We'll talk about some of the highlights of the last time Josh was at the club. We'll get into that in a second. Anyway, let's tell you the show times as usual. The normal show times, Thursday, the 22nd at 7:30 p.m. Friday, May 23rd at 7:15 and 9:45 p.m. is the late show there. And two shows again on Saturday, the 24th at 7 p.m. and 9:30. Jason Gillerin, your feature, and Hannah Osborne, your MC. I believe Hannah won Detroit to L.A. last time around. And she's going to MC, and she's super funny. And Jason's great. Josh, unbelievable. Let's talk about Josh. Do I talk about Josh or do I talk about last weekend at the club? Huh. Because J.R. DeGuzman, I'm going to go there. J.R., I don't know if you would be listening to this. You know, we had him on the show last week. What an unbelievably talented dude that was. So funny. He wrote a song about Detroit. You heard us talk about it last week on the show. He didn't really go in the direction that I told him to go, but what he did with it was so funny. He did a version of My Girl by The Temptation, saying, "It's cold outside and it's the month of May," as it was on Saturday. That temperature really changed last week. And then I went on to say, you know, "When will the Lions win it all? Next year, next year." Very good stuff. I'm not doing it justice. Hopefully there's a video of that. There should be. Because Andrew Yang, the feature, should have made a video of that. Think he was. And that thing should be out, Andrew. We'll be talking if I don't see that soon on social media. That, what a great show. All three of those folks. Patty Rooney, who I just mentioned, was the MC. Andrew Yang and J.R. DeGuzman. One of the funnest weekends in a real, real long time at the Comedy Castle. But this weekend with Josh Adams. I mean, a legendary Detroit comedian at this point. I don't know how many years Josh is in the game, probably close to 20 years at this point. And just unbelievable what he can do. Here's the thing about Josh Adams that I'm going to tell you. And I wish I would have got into with this on the show. So, Josh, I'm going to tell you here. Hopefully this gets back to you. Josh Adams does a thing that all comedians wish they could do and something that audiences always think is good comedy. Meaning he's just on stage and he sounds like he's talking. There's no fiddling through notes. There's no setting up. I mean, he does stand-up comedy. And it's not like he's improvising the whole thing. That was the thing that I really learned watching Josh for a whole week and the last time he was at the club. The whole thing's not improvised. The whole thing's not him talking off the top of his head. But the whole thing sounds like he's talking off the top of his head. That's what's amazing. That's what's hard to do. And that's why I think Josh is really one of the best guys around. Just talks to you straight. It sounds like you're talking to the funniest friend you'd ever want to have. And he'll tell you what's going on with the world. We revisit some of the bits he did last time, like the honey packs. We'll give you, because I had to do a deep dive on honey packs. I didn't know what that was. So stay tuned if you don't know what the honey pack is. And just a lot of fun stuff. We also get into the Jess Hilarious One Mic controversy downtown. Yeah, it was some controversy. And as a very high-ranking member of the Detroit comedy scene, Josh, I knew Josh would have an opinion on that. And of course, as that relates to Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, you know, club that's been around for 45 years, we do our business right. And, you know, when you book people who, you know, and I don't know, Jess, hilarious. I'm sure she's perfectly pleasant. You know, some people who haven't been around, who haven't paid their dues, who aren't seasoned, there's things about the business that they don't understand. And so there's a clash between those who've been around, those who've come up the ranks. Josh Adams is certainly one of those dudes. You'll hear us talk about Club Bart and how that means just the all-star lineup that we used to have at Club Bart on Thursday nights, guys who are headliners all over the country at this point. And, you know, how he came out of that. That was the show that I ran. And we'll get an update on him and the Lions. Might be some souring of that relationship. I don't know. I don't know why the Lions wouldn't like Josh. I think the Lions just got too big. I think the Lions a couple years ago, they were punk rock. They were the new kids on the block with the new attitude. And now the world is everyone jumped on the bandwagon. Well, now the Lions aren't punk rock. They're not playing downtown at St. Andrew's Hall. No, they're playing stadiums. And maybe Josh got left behind. But I'll tell you who's never leaving Josh behind. That's me. That's Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. One of the best guys to do it. He took some time to talk to me. I think you guys are out to enjoy it. Anytime I get to talk to Josh is awesome. So let's listen to this and we'll come back after. All right, here's Josh Adams. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it is a pleasure to have back on this show and back at the Comedy Castle for another great weekend. Josh Adams, what's going on, Josh?
Nothing, man. Chilling. Geeked about this weekend.
Yeah, it should be a fun weekend. Your last weekend, was that last year or was it 2 years ago you did the weekend? It was so fun.
It feel like 2 years, but it was like I was the first show up last year.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that too. It was like, yeah, that felt like 2 years.
A lot has happened.
A lot has went down.
The world has changed.
A lot is going on.
Yeah. So we got a couple things that I particularly want to get into, but your last week, let's just start there because it was such a fun weekend. How can we not talk about the lady in the front row? I mean, let's just start there last time.
Oh, yeah, Foxy, man.
That's your new friend.
She became a staple at all my shows after that.
Oh, like, she's been at all the shows. So for those of you who don't know, what's the lady's name officially that we...
I can't pronounce the last name because Foxy. I'm not that good at reading.
Yeah.
But her first name is Foxy. She's famous, very well known because she's been on a lot of TV shows because she had... a little bit of plastic surgery done, and she has some of the biggest breasts in the world.
Yes.
And she's a big fan of live stand-up comedy.
Absolutely. And she's a regular at our club, and she happened to be in the front row for your set, and that was very funny, your interaction, the two of you, and the photos of you and everything. Unbelievable.
Oh, bro, it was a crazy way to kick the year off, especially like being my first time ever like headlining the club. Yeah. So that was crazy. I went to the dinner with a billionaire that weekend.
Oh,
it was
okay.
A lot going on that weekend. Like,
I know that billionaire too. I know he comes in.
Yeah. So it was like the craziest weekend that you could think that you would have. And then all this rolling to me turning 40 was like, all right, God, I don't know what you got going on, but I'll take it.
Yeah. You turned 40 that weekend, huh?
Not that weekend, but the August. So
coming
it was like,
up, yeah.
All this was like my 40th, whatever. And it's like all this happened was like, well, it was crazy, Joe. So I was like, man, I took it all in stride, bro. It was like one of my best weekends of comedy. I can't lie to you.
Yeah, it was, those shows were really amazing. We're really looking forward to this weekend. But I also learned from watching those shows that weekend, I had no knowledge of this, and I learned it from you. I learned about the honey pack from you.
Yes, no knowledge
of the honey pack before your weekend.
Yeah, the honey pack is a gas station supplement that helps you reach levels sexually that you couldn't do by yourself. Yeah, so it's like you know, I don't know if it's Viagra in it or whatever, but it gets the job done. You have a bad headache, but I haven't dealt with that in a long time.
Okay.
But yeah, like if you need some like performance enhancement drugs in that area, every gas station or liquor store in the city got them. And at this point, I should have a sponsorship because I definitely put a lot of people on it.
Well, maybe you should be on the Honey Pack Pack.
Put it like this. If anybody, I'm going to go buy a whole box of them. So if you come to the show, I'll throw them out in the crowd. If you want to get a honey pack, I will have some this weekend.
All right, listen, I can edit this out if you think you're going to make a lot of money. I think the photo of you and Foxy on the honey pack should could be the label. That could be the front of it, Josh.
Bro, we could be the Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart of honey pack.
You very well
I like that.
Yeah. See?
You own the song with that.
Yeah,
you can come on
you.
And market it, man. Let's
That's
do it.
It. Let's do it. It.
Let's make it happen.
And make let's do some business right here on the Comedy Castle podcast.
I'm with it. I'm with it.
Yeah, man. It's because here's the thing to me for how that affected my life was I didn't know about this thing. So I started reading about it, and I think you're right. When they initially rolled out the honey pack, there was a little bit of Cialis in the honey pack.
Ah.
And then, you know, some government got a hold of it, and I don't know, like maybe Trump's in office and the Cialis is back in the honey pack.
See what I'm saying? Like, man, when the FDA ain't involved, amazing things can take place. When you just let stuff be free and let people make stuff in their house and sell it to people. If I want to just put stuff in my body that I don't know what it is, let me do it. As long as my girl is pleased.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. I'll die behind that.
Mm-hmm. And I was driving one night. It was late at night. I needed an energy drink. I thought I might fall asleep behind the wheel. It was very scary. And I was somewhere in the suburbs, but a little far out. And, you know, very late, nobody at the gas station. And I'm grabbing my energy drink, and I'm walking up to the counter. And this SUV pulls in, doesn't even park properly. The guy jumps out of the car as I'm approaching the counter. And I let him go because he looks like he's in a rush. And what do you think he asked for the guy behind the counter for?
Honey pack.
Honey pack right there. 2 a.m. He needed it. And
yeah,
I was like,
you know what?
I get it now.
Yeah, it's like that. It's a one-stop shop. You go in there, and you grab your snacks, you grab that, and you can put it in whatever little beverage you got. I put mine in my humidifier, and I let it soak through my skin. So, like, I kind of do it that way. So it's a lot of different ways you can take it and apply it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I do it like that. But, you know, put it in tea, whatever you into, just have a good time and use it responsibly. In a monogamous relationship, I no longer would tell you to just use it for anybody. They all don't deserve the honey pack penis. They all don't deserve it.
I don't think
Save
I
it
could.
Your girl.
I couldn't put it in a humidifier because I got dogs, and then the dogs would have honey pack in them, wouldn't they?
And you don't want to have that. Right? And they hump everything. So, no, don't do that. If you have pets or children around, don't do that.
Only single men.
Yeah, my kids live out of town, so there's no honey pack activity there around.
I hear you.
I usually play it like that. But, I want to be the Insane Clown Posse honey pack.
Hey,
like,
well,
you know what
hey.
I'm saying? Like, we just going to squeeze honey packs. I'll figure out how to make it work.
All right. And if you want to talk to Insane Clown Posse, well, I can make that happen. So
that's why I said it, because I know you my brother.
Yeah, I know.
That's
somebody,
why I said it.
A comic came up to me the other day and was like, tell me about Insane Clown Posse. I've known you for a lot of years. I didn't know you did anything with those guys. And I was sort of like, yeah, okay. But I don't, you know, whatever. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Josh. Because, what a great show this weekend coming up.
Let's see.
I'm trying to think of who your openers are. I know Jason Gillerin is on that show. And I forget who the opener was. It's a good lineup, though. It's going to be a great lineup. All right. So, in a year plus, what's changed about your comedy career? Where are you going? Where are the shows? Bigger shows? More famous people coming to the shows? What's going on?
Oh, man, you know, I mean, me just really figuring out myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been digging into, like, leaning more into the people who want to come see me do comedy.
Yeah.
And it's my spectrum. Mm-hmm. My spectrum is in between Pimp C, the rapper from Port Arthur, Texas, and Stan Lee.
Okay.
The man who created Marvel Comics.
Right.
So it's like, you know, so a drug dealer, rapper, and a man who created a comic book that has changed comic books. That have changed everything. So that's my spectrum. I don't have fans. I have people that are on my spectrum.
All right.
And come in, if you fit that mold right there, you're going to love what I do, man. So I've tapped into what it is I am, man.
Yeah.
I'm just an old comic book loving, down south rap loving, 40-year-old man, bro. I hate TikTok. I hate everything now. Like, I didn't think that was a real thing. Like, once you got to a certain age, it's like everything irritates me. Like,
that's it.
Yeah.
I thought you would maybe use TikTok to sort of get some new people at the show. No, that's not your move?
I'm too old, man. I use Instagram. I use all the stuff, YouTube and all that. But, like, as far as people that like it and are on it, I think you weird if you're over 40 and you're on TikTok. And, you know, I think you should probably tell people that, you know what I'm saying, you moved into their neighborhood if you are over 40 and you're TikTok. Like, it's just a weird thing to me. Like, I'm just there. Like, I don't know when you hit that point, but maybe you haven't. But I really just don't.
Well, I'm older than you. I'm 52. Actually, I just had a birthday. I'm 53.
Happy birthday.
But I've never been on. I mean, I think the thing about, like, TikTok is it didn't exist. And I think you're in the same boat. It didn't exist when you were a teenager when you should really be using it. Yeah. So it doesn't exist to you. But, you know, video games, comic books, those are around, so you're into that stuff.
And I'm into all that. But as far as, like, promoting and tapping into the support, like, in my spectrum, I still use social media, but I use it the way I feel like a 40-year-old man is. Mm-hmm. I post my flyers, where I'm going to be at, videos and certain stuff like that. And if something moves me, then I'll talk about it. Like, right. But I'm not just going to make content because I got to make content.
Right.
You know, I'm going to reach my spectrum however I choose to. You know, if it's just one show at a time with every person that comes to the show, I'll build it that way. But, bro, I just can't be making TikTok videos. I've never been able to dance. I don't know the lingo, and everybody got a stream. Castaneda is one of the most famous. He Johnny Carson now. Mm-hmm. Do you know who Castaneda is?
I don't.
See, it's like this new black kid. He's a streamer. And everybody just goes to his house and sit in front of a camera in his room, and they talk and they dance, and he got like a soundboard where he makes sounds. It's like, I know of it just because it's around, but it's like, he Johnny Carson now. So if you get on there, your life forever is changed.
All right. But here's the thing that I have seen you embrace, and I don't know if you're doing this yourself or somebody's doing it for you. Your promotion for this weekend that I have seen on social media myself, where I follow you. You got some real funny cartoon things that you're making. Yeah. I'm assuming those are made in AI, but they're great.
They are AI, and I'm just accepting the fact that they're going to take over eventually.
Yeah,
so I'm just trying to.
Whatever you learned how to use those, because those are sweet.
I mean, yeah, and I'm only getting better at it, and now I will never pay anybody to make a flyer for me. Because you used to need flyers, and like, hey, I need a flyer made, can you do it? And then they would take all day doing it, or they wouldn't do it the way, and now I just go to my phone, hey, I want to do this and do that, and make it look like this. So now it's like, everything can be topical, it can pop out to people, people can see it, so it's like, my way of still being, using social media and getting people interested in pulling up to the show, so... Yeah. I've been all on that, man.
Yeah, that stuff's terrific. And one of the things you brought up as part of promoting this week, which I'd like to get into, I hope you're not afraid. I should have mentioned this before because I don't know if it's a hot topic. But in Detroit, all the comedians are talking about Jess and One Mike Detroit. Yeah. I want your opinion. First of all, why don't you let people know what happened if they don't know what happened? What's the controversy there?
Oh, well, it's a club downtown that opened up that Mike Epps is the, he's not the owner of it. He's just the face of it. It's almost like Colonel Sanders. It's like, hey, you know, you going to KFC, you're not going to see Colonel Sanders in there. He's not dropping chicken. Mm-hmm. But it's a club called One Mike Downtown. They brought in a comedian, just hilarious. And it sounds like they was playing with her money and kind of being unprofessional. And, I mean, it's a lot of clubs out here. I mean, a lot of the new clubs out here, I don't really mess with them because if you don't really feature comedy or put comedy at the forefront and give it the respect that it deserves as far as from the comedians to the people that want to come see comedy, I don't really mess with you. And, you know, I mean, I ain't mad at her because I've heard and experienced things at that club, so I don't really mess with it like that.
Okay.
A couple clubs. Huh. So it's just funny that it took somebody from out of town to put it on to put it on national radio, you know what I'm saying, on broadcast radio. And blow it up like that. So everybody was picking sides. I kind of didn't say nothing about it. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've dealt with them and they have been bogus. And they don't do good business down
there.
So it ain't Mark Reilly's. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
That's where we at this weekend. Come on down to Mark Reilly's where they pay you on time. everything I ask for, I get. They show me love. So
yeah,
that club is, I mean, I'm sure you ain't been down there, but
I haven't. But, I mean, I'm always interested to hear because the club did put out their side of the story and that there were these demands that came in late, all of these things that, you know, for me, working at a club would be troublesome if some act come in. And then a few of them have done something similar to that where, you know, they're changing this at the last minute. They're changing this. They're asking for things and riders that we didn't know anything about. And that's really frustrating.
Yeah.
And we tried to accommodate.
It's three sides to every story, yeah. I've had bad experiences with them. And like I said, to this day, I ain't went back and worked the club.
Well,
and I don't really plan on working it because there's a lot of other clubs to work.
Absolutely. So, and I'm not trying to put down that club. I'm trying to see, like, where did this hit? And it sounds like maybe from both ends there was a little bit of miscommunication, and things could have been done better on both sides. But
yeah.
And I guess the big question then comes down to, when it comes to this thing, were you aware of Damon Williams?
That's hilarious. Yeah, I am aware of Damon.
You knew
Williams.
Who he was.
I did know. I know who he was. Yeah. But at the same time, I felt like she was being a comedian and making a joke.
Okay.
So everybody took the slight. You know, everybody took the slight way more personal because she's a comedian who started on the internet, and people kind of got an idea about her and they don't like her. And they took that as like disrespect. In my head, it was just like a funny thing to say in a moment where you're making a joke about something that really you pissed off about. She was like, yeah, they say Damon Williams going to be there. Come to find out it was Damon Williams. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny
it is
that
funny.
You think somebody going to be there and they not there. But so everybody took it.
Would the club really say that? Or is that her just being ignorant to who's around in comedy? Like, Damon Williams sounds like a guy who's got a little bit of a career, you know, that you should know.
I mean,
if you're in the business.
Damon Williams is eating. Like, he was on tour. He was opening for the Kings of Comedy.
Okay,
He got a club in Chicago. He's been on a Tom Joyner morning cruise. Yeah. Like, I mean, he got so many accolades. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, everybody don't know everybody.
Yeah,
just because he is a big deal and in the comedy community he's respected, it don't mean that, like, they always say you should do research on all this. And it's like, everybody just ain't gonna know everybody, and I don't think that disrespect was meant, but they was just ready to jump on her, and they missed the whole point of that this club
is bogus,
and they doing bad business. So I felt the way about that, I'm not gonna lie, because I was like, she was just being funny. Ain't we comedians? Because it was mostly comedians. I know Damon Williams. It turned into the whole, I am Malcolm X. I am Malcolm X. It's like, yeah, we know, fam. He's funny. She was making a joke.
Yeah.
And also, that's what we do.
And here's what I'm learning from you here. I did not know that this Jess Hilarious was internet famous. Because there is definitely a divide between people who are sort of internet famous, social media stars, and people who have been going through it, you know, the old-fashioned way, as we say. You know, opening clubs, featuring, you know, moving up the ranks.
She came through the internet ranks. She's probably more than internet famous now, but internet fame took her to be all right, let me start doing clubs and let me start doing my own show. So she started off automatically. When you got a built-in fan base, you're going to come through and you're going to headline. You're going to be the one closing the show because that's who people come to see. And, I mean, as a stand-up, do I know what she get on like? No. Yeah. I've heard some things about her, but I think those audiences, the people that they bring, they not stand-up comedy audiences. They coming to see this person that they like. And whatever she do or say, they going to be with. Like, it's TikTok stars that, or people of TikTok fame that I came to open up for. And they was like, hey, can you come open the show up for me? And I'm like, cool. Well, they didn't ask me personally, but a club.
Mm-hmm.
And I pull up, this place packed.
Yeah.
And I'm doing my thing, and it's cool. But they here for this person that's living a phone. Like, they like, bro, you're funny, but where's old girl who puts her fist in her mouth? We here for her. I'm like, I can't put nothing in my mouth.
That's a good point. Because I think, you know, having some of those acts at Comedy Castle, they can draw, but they don't necessarily draw a second time. You know, that's really when you know, because the act isn't, you know, they feel like they saw it. They felt like maybe it wasn't worth the money or the hassle, or just, you know, you followed them, you saw them when they came, and the next time they come, you don't go.
Yeah.
And
I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that. And
happens.
That's why I say that you do have to tap in, like, as being comedians from the old guard, is that, you know, strict stand up, doing it, started on the stage. We do have to find a way to figure the internet out, because if you do hit that, the one lick, and now you can fill up a comedy club from Thursday all the way to Sunday, and you can deliver on stage, it's like, oh man, it only benefits you to try to tap into that, because all it takes is one video to go, and now all these people come back and they see everything that you do. Because I tell people, like, a lot of the work you're doing now is not for today, it's for later. Like, people gonna go back and see all the great stuff that you did, and you're like, oh, this is funny, why are people not messing with it? They ain't flicked the light switch on you yet to turn you on. So saying all that to say this is that, yeah, like internet is important and, you know, you should take advantage of it if you're trying to build a base.
Yeah, it's I think that's good. And I would love to see. Listen, if you had a podcast or something, I'd be all about that. I'd be in there. You've done something, right? You work with other people, though.
Yeah, yeah. I've done podcasts and I just fell back because I felt like I was doing what I saw everybody else doing. And it wasn't something new and that people really wanted to do. It was like what they saw me doing, they could see 6-7 other people doing. Yeah, it was like we were getting drunk, showing up, talking crazy, telling stories. It's like, bro, all right, man. Don't nobody really want to hear this. That. Learn your words. So I'm definitely working on it, man. I'm going to I got plans to do a lot of stuff, man. Like I wanna write a couple short films, bro. I want to shoot a lot of content, put it out there, because you never know what door opens up and exposes everybody to everything. They might catch up with the short films and then turn around and come back and like, oh, you stand up, and then all of that. So you just gotta cover all your bases.
Yeah.
You gotta be able to hit them at all different points.
And I'm gonna ask you this too, because I had a student recently in my class. And my student went to an open mic, went to New Way Bar, right? Now, sometimes I'm in there with them and teaching them, and I wasn't there that night. And they were like, Josh Adams was in the club, and Josh Adams was incredible, and I wanted to talk to Josh Adams, and he was gone. As soon as he got done, he walked off the stage and went out to his car, and that was it for Josh Adams. And I go, hey, that's the way some guys roll. That's, they gotta handle their business, and they got a life. They got to get back to it. So what is your philosophy? Are you somebody that, hey, I always try to say hi to you when we're at a place together. So I usually get a minute with you. But is there some philosophical thing? Was that a one-time thing? Because this dude would have been all in. He was so looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah, it's one of them things where, bro, I got to get him go to work in the morning.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, like, yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. It's like, I used to be able to, I used to want to go and I go up and sit in there and kick it all night and then go home. But now it's like, bro, for what? Like, it's not really even beneficial no more for me to stay up that late. So in reality, like now I'm blessed in a situation where I can kind of walk in and go up when I get in there. And I'm not going to kind of BS the mic. I'm going to get up and do my thing and get out the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, I got some ideas I want to go ahead and throw around. See how I work. And then the people, it ain't like I walk in there and then people like, hey, want to speak, and I slap them.
Yeah.
It's like I literally get up, you know what I'm saying, and dip out. And somebody want to kick it with me, I kick it with him. But I would have talked to the dog. He reached out to me on Facebook. And I told him, like, bro, we get a chance to meet up. But man, the funny thing is Downtown Tony Brown, rest in peace, he said that to me. He said, man, once you're done, just leave.
Yeah.
He's like, he was like, just leave. He's like, it ain't nothing in there but drugs and sex and alcohol. He's like, bro, go home. He's like, you did what you need to do, and it adds to your mystique. And I didn't understand what that meant. It make people want to see you more. And it's like, man, treat it like a job. Like, man, you done your job, go home. What are you sitting around for? Yeah,
I agree with that too. That's, you know, and that's kind of an old school thing from guys like Tony Brown. I learned from Bill Hildebrand or Joey's Dearborn, a lot of my stuff that I know. But it was really sort of that attitude of, yeah, you did your thing and you made the people laugh and you got it. And if you want to hang out, that's cool. I think that, you know, for young comedians, they feel a little bit of, you know, like when they feel like the comics are the audience for the show, they're like, well, we all sat through your stuff and then you do your thing and you leave. And so young comedians don't have that perspective of, look, I've been in this for years and years. I got a life outside of this stage. Let me get back to that as soon as I can, you know?
Yeah. And like you say, like, I remember going up at Bart's.
Yeah.
And it would be 60 comedians in there and you would make me number 102. And I'm sitting in there and I'm performing to the back of the heads of the bartenders. I used to love the setup in that club.
Absolutely.
But it's like, take it in stride, bro. It's like everything. Yeah. Hey, don't take it personal.
No.
Just if you give comedy what you're supposed to give it, it's going to give you everything you want, man. Like money, opportunities. And like I say, man, I get to do, at the very least every year, something super cool, bro. Something that I could never imagine that I had the opportunity to do. That's just, I give at least one. It'd be more than that. I'm just giving you for the fact. Because I give what I give to comedy, I get to do at least one thing that I'll be like, wow, I can't believe I'm actually getting to do this. At least one, when in reality it's like 10 or 12, 13 things I get to do that I'll be like, people would never believe, or that my younger self would never believe the opportunities that I get. So I just tell comedians, bro, don't take it personal. And if you get funny, you will start making money. You will start getting shows. You will work your way up. But it's just like, bro, take your time, have fun, and enjoy this thing that you're doing, especially if you're doing it for the right reasons.
That's great advice, man. I agree with all of that. And, I mean, let's talk real quick. And I know because we talked a lot about it last time. We talked about you playing with the Lions or performing for them. And I know there's still a relationship there. But what do you think about this season? The schedule came out. So much talk about what's going down. I looked at that Sunday game in Philly. Like, oh, my God, that's going to be gigantic. What do you think? Where are we at?
It's going to be a big deal, man. Yeah. I feel like this year they got a lot to prove with all the changes in the coaching staff. Glenn is in New York, and Johnson is in Chicago. So it's a lot of changes. So hopefully, man, we still got, you know what I'm saying, we still got Coach Campbell. So we still got the culture, but it's like the execution and as far as all the new pieces we add. So, I mean, I'm hoping that they can go on a run. They can turn around because Philly had a time where they was like on their way to winning one, and then the same thing happens. Yeah, the coaches leave, players leave. So I'm hoping they can have that kind of year and then get back on the ball and go to that next level, even though they don't really mess with me no more. So I can go ahead and jump back out and be a Steeler fan again. So
they don't mess with it. Well, look, listen. Hey.
Yeah, listen, yeah. I left with Campbell and I left with Johnson. And
well, look, I think the Detroit Lions are going to do fine. I think. But from your perspective, I mean, just having that little bit of rub from the Lions or whatever, I mean, unbelievable. People know you from that. That's a great thing that, you know, and I always tell comics, it's like, you can't pick what's making you famous. You can't pick what, you know, we'd all love to pick. You know, I always say, you can't pick your fans. That's another thing I tell people. Can't pick your fans. You're going to put it out there. People are going to show up. You may not like the people that show up to watch you.
No, but they like you. They like something about you.
Yeah, they
but again, like I said, the whole Lions relationship, like it got me on ESPN last year.
Absolutely.
Like, when we played Buffalo, they came to a comedy club in Detroit and they came to one in Buffalo. And we got to kind of talk about both teams being in obscurity for a minute and now they're the top teams in the league.
Yeah.
So it's like, bro, I got a bunch of opportunities. I got mad love for them, man. Like I said, the Lions, I've been here my whole life, bro. Yeah. I'm always root for them. I'm going to want them to win. Like I said, I'm definitely going to be in the building. And honestly, a couple of Detroit comedians, not even Detroit comedians, whatever comedians, we're going to do some live watches of the game.
Oh,
so you can literally watch with some like most funny, some of the funniest, interesting people in the world talking Lions. And then if you're a fan of Philadelphia, like we're going to have some people from Philadelphia repping them. And we're going to watch the game and we're going to talk crazy. I think that's going to be dope. So that's the kind of content I want to make.
Right, so that's coming up.
And that's right in my wheelhouse. So I'm glad you reminded me of that.
Well, listen.
You're good at these interviews, though.
I'm trying. I mean, I've been a fan of yours since, man, I don't know when you started exactly. But, I mean, I remember you at Club Bart late at night. Absolutely remember that. But, listen, hey, before we go, and I don't want to, and this is not about me. This is about the comics. But the Club Bart alumni.
Legendary.
Unbelievable. Now, you can't imagine all those people working in open mic on a Thursday night. And I'm not talking about the Comedy Castle headline. I'm talking about the guys that, you know, Horst and Jeff R. Curry and you and, you know,
Matt
McClowery, Dave Randall. I mean,
Clayton Thomas.
Yeah.
It was like you just didn't know what was growing. We was a bunch of kids, bro, just showing up to a club in Ferndale, cussing into a microphone, man. And now we are grown, married with kids, and literally have solid career in comedy. And I'm being modest when I say solid. When you think about where we at, people would kill to be in the position that we in and are going to be in.
Yeah, and I think for so many comics that place helped you get to that where, you know, it made you good, even if it hurt, even if it sucked on the night. When you got to the club, you were better for having done that.
No,
when you got to Ridley's.
It's like iron sharpens iron. Like you need the rooms where it's a bar full of people who don't care about what's going on and your dreams and your hopes. And then you can get a couple laughs. And then you get comedians like, oh, you should do this and do that. And it's like a different crowd. It's like, you know, it's not a white crowd. It's not a black crowd. It's a more, it was just, I couldn't even describe the kind of audience that it had in there where it was like, you had to figure out, how do I reach these people with my language as far as the comedy I speak?
Right.
And then it only helps you to be able to go to work at Mark Ridley's and be able to host at Mark Ridley's and Joey's and go to I can't think of too many. We didn't have no black clubs then. They are closed down. Yeah, it wasn't none then. When I started comedy, all the urban clubs had closed down. It made me better, bro. So, like, I tell people all the time, man, I came from the Joe Fragamini school. For real. It was a part of my tutelage, bro. I would not lie to you.
Well, that makes me feel nice, dude. And you were always great. And, again, like I said, this weekend I am so looking forward to a super fun weekend. Get your tickets over on ComedyCastle.com. Pick your seat. You want to sit up close next to Roxy, you better get on ComedyCastle.com right now because you can do that.
Yeah, or you can just sit right there on Roxy. Is that much space? Go look at the pictures.
Look at the pictures, man. Hey, always fun talking to you, Josh. We'll see you this weekend, man.
All right, Joe. Appreciate it, man.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
Well, guys, I mean, come on. Josh Adams, as good as it gets, right? I mean, dude's funny. Can talk about anything. Hit him up with some questions with no pre-planning, no notes given, and he talks off the top of his head, and it's always funny, always interesting. Love Josh. Maybe Foxy's back this weekend. You have to buy a ticket to find out. Like I said, go to ComedyCastle.com. Get tickets for all these shows. I probably didn't plug that hard enough at the beginning of this show, did I? But ComedyCastle.com has your tickets. I'm going to tell this, and one day I'm going to remember to say this at the very top of the show. But, man, if you're going for, and I say it on the show, ComedyCastle.com, that's tickets. If you just type in Comedy Castle tickets into your search engine, you're not going to get the Comedy Castle. Comedy Castle, when I checked on, well, I said this to my wife. I said, you should come see J.R. DeGuzman. This was on Thursday or probably Friday evening. And I said, you know, tomorrow night, come see J.R. He's awesome. I think you'll love what he's doing. And she goes, all right, let me see where the tickets are. And she goes on and she goes, why are these tickets $128 for J.R. DeGuzman? I said, I can assure you they are not $128. She showed me her phone. She showed me the link that she went to, which was not the Comedy Castle. It was the sponsored link on the top of the Google search page. You had to scroll down about four links to actually get to ComedyCastle.com and those tickets. So please, start by typing in ComedyCastle.com. You can't go wrong with that. There's always a link for this podcast at ComedyCastlePodcast.com. I always link to the tickets there in the description of the show. You'll see that links and tickets thing that I build in there. And that's important because I don't want you guys to, you know, have to pay. I mean, because people go, well, you know, what are we not going to get in if we pay $120 for tickets? No, you'll get in. The thing is, the way these sites work is that they're going to say, we can get you into the Comedy Castle on a Saturday night. And you'll go, okay, I'll go on this website. I'll click on these tickets and buy them. They're $100 and some. And all that's going on is there's somebody behind the scenes at that particular sleazy unofficial website that has taken your money, and then they're going to our website, purchasing a couple of tickets, and then they're just sending that off. They're sending those PDF of the tickets off to you. And so there's this weird middleman. That's what they're doing, you know. And it's not like the shows are sold out. Sometimes they are. And if shows are sold out and you want to go to a place like StubHub and get tickets, you know, people do that. That's legitimate. But these sites that are still essentially, you know, making themselves look like the official ticket sellers for the Comedy Castle are sleazy. That's how they work. You pay them an exorbitant amount of money. They buy tickets at the regular price, and they pass those along to you, and they keep that giant profit that they made. I think for J.R. DeGuzman, they would have made about $90 per ticket had you bought their very expensive tickets on their website. And so, you know, the cost of hosting that website and paying for the placement with Google, it all works out when you're making $90 a ticket for making a couple of clicks. It's sleazy. There's not really much we can do to stop it as the business on the other end, because we get our money, But you're the one that gets screwed. So go to ComedyCastle.com. I'll stop with that. But that's how those websites work. Make sure ComedyCastle.com. It does a redirect to a site called Etix, E-T-I-X. But if you start at ComedyCastle.com, you can't go wrong. That'll get you right there. Okay? That's enough. If you have any questions, call the club. 248-542-9900. They'll answer all your questions. Naomi, our general manager. Julie's usually on the phones during the week in the afternoon. She'll talk to your questions. She knows everything about the tickets. Julie does. And, you know, we'll answer your questions. But don't spend all that money on tickets. We want you to get out. Mark Ridley, I know, and as I've spoken to him about this, he wants you to get in for a good price. He doesn't want to take your whole paycheck, you know, to come see comedy. He wants to make it affordable. It's a small business putting on some of the best comics in the world, like this weekend with Josh Adams. So get your tickets from the right place, all right? Sorry to go on a ticket rant. But I think it's necessary because I don't want you guys. I want you guys to come see Josh. But get them from our site. Pay what's fair. And Josh makes money. Everybody makes money. Everybody has a great time. That's what this weekend's about. Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day weekend. And we will remember those who served, who died, serving our country. That's what Memorial Day is about. But have some laughs. Have some fun. It's the start of the summer here in Michigan. And we're starting it with Josh Adams. Thanks for listening to this, guys. I know I got some good feedback on my interview with J.R. DeGuzman. Maybe this this Jess hilarious one mic story is something people are going to still talk about. I think I've given my two cents on that. All right, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next week. Happy Memorial Day. We'll see you this week with Josh Adams. Bye-bye.